Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, October 26, 2018. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. How are you, Andrew?
Hey, I'm doing great today. I'm excited it's Friday.
I totally get it, because that means there's at least a slim possibility of getting to sleep in a little bit tomorrow. Maybe. Yeah. Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I am swell. Thanks for having me on today, Jeff.
Good to have you here. Good to have both of you here. And it's cool that LinkedIn Jobs is our sponsor. I will tell you about them soon. Let's just jump right into it, though. This morning, I saw on Twitter a post from Guillermo Rambo. And, you know, he's known for digging through Apple's iOS code and finding all kinds of interesting little tidbits that give us clues as to what's coming. And the tidbit that he found in the most recent iOS 12.1 developer beta, I thought was really interesting, because not only does it help support the idea that we are getting new iPad Pro models very soon, it also indicates that these new iPads not only will use Face ID, but they can use Face ID while you're holding your iPad in portrait mode, like you have to do for your iPhone to unlock, or you can rotate it into landscape mode, which to me totally makes sense to do on an iPad, because you may have your iPad sitting on a desk with a keyboard attached, and odds are you're going to have it in that landscape mode, so it's more like a traditional laptop screen.
Totally. In fact, if they didn't do that, it would be a total flop.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, like, I use my iPad more in landscape mode than portrait mode. Like universally, it's in fact, last night I had some app that was insisting on only being in portrait mode. And so I was using my iPad in portrait mode, and it was just clunky. So yeah, I mean, it's mandatory for an iPad.
I agree. And, I'm actually looking forward to seeing this new iPad.
Mm-hmm.
At first, when I started hearing talk about Face ID and stuff, I thought, okay, well, that'll be nice. But as I've been thinking about this more and more over the past few weeks, I've been thinking, you know, I'm actually, even though I have a lot of frustrations with performance, with Face ID, I'm at the point where, for my iPad, I really don't want to have to keep reaching out and touching the home button every time I want to authenticate for something. I'm ready for my face to take that over.
So this is interesting, mm-hmm. because had I interrupted you, I would have completely disagreed with you. But I agree that when it's time to authenticate for an app, to see my passwords, all of that stuff, like the once I'm using my iPad, all of those in the flow authentications, having those with Face ID, as I experience on my iPhone 10, is actually great. It's slower. Certainly it's slower than if I had my finger on the, you know, on the Touch ID sensor, but it is convenient, especially with an iPad where your hands have lots of different places to be.
Yeah.
That said, I really enjoy the efficiency of unlocking my iPad with the Touch ID sensor. And I do miss that from the phone, on my phone, like, because I have to touch it somehow. And on the phone, I have to swipe up from the bottom. So like my finger has to go to that spot or a particular spot anyway. And when I grab my iPad, my thumb is naturally right over the, you know, I grab it in landscape mode, generally with my right thumb over the home button. And man, it's super efficient. And every time I do it, I think, yeah, I missed this on my phone. And I was recently testing a Doogee Android phone that has a Touch ID sensor. not a touch ID, a fingerprint sensor on the back of it. Oh, that's even better. Like, I think, and this actually, that Doogee phone has both. It has a facial, it has Face ID and Touch ID. It's just not called that because it's an Android phone. And that's where it's blissful because you can use either and it's great. So I'm going to miss not having that Touch ID sensor for the initial unlocking.
I am totally with you. And the two places that I really miss Touch ID on my iPhone, initial unlock and Apple Pay.
Yes. Oh my God, Apple Pay. Oh, what a clunky cluster it is to do that with the Face ID, and I've got to angle it but still hold it close enough to the reader, and no.
Yeah.
Not my thing.
I've actually switched to using my Apple Watch as my primary Apple Pay device when I'm out and about.
Yeah.
And I wasn't, because, you know, in the winter I'm wearing a coat and maybe a long sleeve shirt, and so digging my watch out from underneath all of that is kind of a pain. But with my phone, you know, I was just pop it out and do it. So muscle memory, I'd been doing that. This summer, I started using my Apple Watch primarily, because I didn't have to go through the pull the phone out, look at the screen so it does the unlock thing, and it's so much clunkier than it used to be.
Yeah. But it's fine. Like, I am past the point of change resistance in that I've gotten used to it on my phone, but experiencing it on the iPad, it's like, for many things, Touch ID, for these specific things, especially, Touch ID is more efficient.
Yeah, but man, being able to just sit there at my iPad and do my thing and not have to keep reaching up and touching the home button to authenticate for whatever it is that I'm doing, I'm looking forward to that.
I'm with you. Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. Yep.
So yes. Before we move on, Andrew, I totally dominated this talk and didn't even give you a chance to jump in. And I'm really curious how you feel, because as I recall, you're not using an iPhone X.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole Face ID thing will be new to you when you get a new iPhone, or if you get one of these new iPads. And I would love to get your take as a Touch ID user on this.
I definitely love Touch ID. Face ID sounds really, really cool. And I think having it into an iPad and maybe even eventually a Mac would be great. It's like, I like Touch ID, but doing it with your face just seems so much more seamless, because you don't really have to do anything except look at the device. So I'm looking forward to it.
You don't have to do anything besides look at the device. And if you're already using your iPad, you're already looking at your device.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, Apple.
I want to add one tip while we're here, if I may. I found Face ID for me to be touch and go, no pun intended, until I went into settings, Face ID and passcode, and turned off require attention for Face ID. That, as they say, provides an additional level of security by verifying that you are looking at your iPhone before it will do its unlock or authentication with Face ID. I found that having that on made it far more difficult to get things done. And by turning that off, things got much better.
Good to know. I think I'll go turn it off on my iPhone.
Yeah.
I'm going to add another tip, as long as we're throwing out Face ID tips. Did you know that in iOS 12, you can add a second face? Now, Apple set this up so that you can, you know, like if you do something radically different with your appearance, you can have two versions of you. But you can also use it as a workaround for the old thing of being able to add someone else's thumbprint to your Touch ID.
Yeah.
You can add a completely different person to Face ID.
I forgot about that, but yeah, good tip.
So, yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is LinkedIn Jobs. And LinkedIn Jobs, what it does is it lets you go out and find the best employees that you can for your business, or if you're on a job hunt, to find the companies that you think are going to be the best fit for you. Now, from the potential employer's standpoint, what they're looking for are people that are going to be a good fit, people that are genuinely interested in being part of the company, people that have the right skill set, and that's what they're likely to find at LinkedIn, because that's where 70% of the U.S. workforce already is, and the people that are hunting for jobs through LinkedIn Jobs tend to be people that are more interested in the type of job that they're applying for and tend to be better equipped to actually be successful at that job. What that means is that you as an employer don't have to spend as much time or money hunting for the right person, unlike what you would be doing if you use some random job posting board and just hope that you eventually find the right person. So, what LinkedIn Jobs wants you to do is to be able to save a little bit more money when you're on the job hunt. So here's what they're doing. They're offering you a discount on your first job post. And here's what you need to do. Hurry to linkedin.com/TDO and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/TDO to get $50 off your first job post. linkedin.com/TDO, and terms and conditions apply. Hey, thanks LinkedIn Jobs for being our sponsor all week. Okay. The other thing I want to talk about today to wrap up the show, Andrew, you covered a piece yesterday about what's being called the AI Cold War, and and it seems that the United States and China both are part of this. So what exactly is going on?
Yeah, so it's a very interesting article, and it all started with Google. So a couple years ago, they created this AI called AlphaGo, and it's meant to play this game called Go. I don't know a lot about that game, but it ended up beating Chinese players at this game twice. And then 2 months after the second victory, all of a sudden, China unveiled this new plan. It's called the Next Generation Artificial Intelligence Development Plan. Mm-hmm. And they basically want to be like the leader in AI by 2030. And so this is why we're seeing all of these news about, you know, these Chinese smart cities with AI, all of the surveillance and facial recognition. You could argue that it all started with AlphaGo, because China saw that and they realized, oh, crap, we need to ramp up production.
That's interesting. And
wow.
Yeah. And China, I mean, they have a lot of resources that they can throw behind an initiative like that.
Yeah.
Dave, I have a feeling there's more behind your wow. So I'd love to hear what you're thinking.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just there's always a catalyst, right, to new missions and new projects and all of that. And I always find it interesting, you know, from a business perspective, like, oh, what gave you the idea to do, you know, to get into business doing that? And sometimes, you know, it's a very boring, predictable, I don't want to say boring, predictable answer. And sometimes it's like this. It's like, oh, yeah, somebody that we saw an AI beat our best players at this game, and we decided we needed, if you can't beat them, join them. So we want to be the best at AI because we see that as the future. If it's going to truly be smarter than humans or help to augment human intelligence, we want to be on board with that. And I think it's great. I also think when it comes to, you know, AI or augmented intelligence, not artificial intelligence, and I really think that augmented intelligence is more our future than just separate artificial intelligences, you know, the bandwidth of the user interface is really the thing that needs to be solved. And I don't know if China's working on that. It wouldn't surprise me if they are. This is a known thing. It's discussed, you know, frequently in these circles that we have these terribly slow user interfaces, right? We've got this, our brains can work pretty fast and are good at lots of things. Our devices can work really fast and are good at other things. And we have this, you know, awful interface between the two. It's either a keyboard and a trackpad or a mouse and a screen that we have to read, or it's a, you know, a touch interface, or a even slower, arguably a voice interface, right, with the various things that we have. And it just means that we really can't leverage the benefits of both of these systems, the wetware and the dryware, right? And that's thing, that's like what Elon Musk's Neuralink is working on, supposedly, right? Is that the increasing the speed of that interface somehow. So I just find all of this really interesting.
I'm finding it very interesting too. And I'm really curious to see how this plays out. My assumption is that with the knowledge that China is working really hard to be the leader in artificial intelligence, possibly augmented intelligence.
Sure.
That other countries, including the United States, are looking at this and thinking, man, we need to stay on top of this too, because we don't want to get left behind.
Exactly. And another thing that I've been reading in the news is Amazon, with their facial recognition system, they're trying to be a military contractor, basically. And, you know, the TSA wants to implement something like this, too. So, yeah, it's happening.
Wow. Okay, so now the whole Amazon thing coming into this, I find it just fascinating how intertwined Amazon is becoming in everything surrounding our lives, from ordering toothpaste to national security. So
yeah, they their Amazon Web Services, their cloud infrastructure, they're also contracting that out to, I don't know if it's all aspects of the military or maybe just the CIA, but yeah, it's kind of scary.
All right. Well, but before we wrap up, I now have a new question, which is, at what point does all of this technology reach a level where various governments decide that they need to control and regulate it?
Well, also in this article, funnily enough, Vladimir Putin had an opinion on this. He said the one who becomes the leader in this area will become the leader of the world. Because if you have this super powerful AI, you can maybe try to use it to attack other countries and prevent them and disrupt them from building their own AI. So I think more and more countries will see that and build their own AI, if only for defense.
That's just great. Well, sleep tight, everyone.
It makes sense, though. I mean,
yeah, it does.
I mean, we can, you know, talk about the creepy elements of it, but it's, I mean, when we step back from artificial intelligence and see it more as augmented intelligence, that's what we've been using computers for decades, right? And we're just talking about increasing the computer's level of involvement in a lot of this stuff, which can certainly get creepy. I don't mean to dismiss that, but it's really not any creepier. The entire concept really isn't creepy. It's like, well, you know, do you keep your calendar in your brain? The entirety of your calendar in your head? Some of you might. I don't.
You know,
for a few years, I kept it on paper. And then pretty much as soon as I could, which for me was about 1993, I moved it to a computer. And it's been there ever since. And you know what? I can look at my calendar all the way back to 1993 because of that. And I don't have to think about it. I get to free up my brain thinking about other things. Same with my contacts. Same with, you know, so it's, it's just how it's this augmented intelligence is it's a natural progression that it's going to get more and more intertwined in our lives as if it's not already.
All right. I now have to take us down a rat hole before I wrap us up.
Well, it is your final show hosting TDO, Jeff, so I think we can afford you that luxury.
Thank you. I do appreciate that. So as soon as you said 1993, my brain started spinning. I'm like, how far back can I go? How far back can I go? And it's probably about the same. So I have to ask, what was the app that got you to move from paper to your computer for contacts and calendar?
Yeah, I was working for Citibank at the time, and we needed something that we could share and see each other's calendars with, and we were a Mac shop. And I went to Macworld Expo that year and in search of something, many things, but this was one of the things on my list. In fact, it was like, I need to come back with this to show that they didn't waste their money and my time sending me. And it was Now Up to Date that that I went with. Yep.
Now Up to Date for me too.
Yep. And I will point out that with Now Up to Date, was sold after a number of years, went through some good owners and some very, very bad owners, and really kind of ruined the product. But the original programming team are the ones that built BusyCal. So if you liked Now Up to Date, kids, ask your parents, then BusyCal is your thing. BusyCal has since been sold, I should point out. It's been acquired by the guy who writes ToDo, the number 2DO. And he's had it for about a year, and the changes that he's made are, in my opinion, very good things. So I think it's still heading down the right path and will continue to for many years to come.
And it turns out I have BusyCal on my computer.
And my phone.
And I do have it on my phone too. Yep. Wow. I did go through a stretch for quite a while where I used Claris Organizer.
Okay.
Because I got a Palm. The Palm PDA. Yeah. And they had their special sync conduit that worked with Claris Organizer. So I did a stint with that too, but yeah,
cool.
Now Up to Date. That was the first for me too.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, thank you for indulging me on that trip down.
Yeah, man, of course. Yeah.
And we are out of time, so we have to wrap up. Dave, thanks for being here today.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for hosting and building TDO with us and everything that you've done. It's really, truly been a pleasure. So thank you.
Thanks. And I'm really glad that we started this show. It has been so much fun, and it feels like it's really evolved in a good way over the years. And it has been loads of fun.
Awesome.
Every single day. I have just loved this. Mm-hmm. Andrew, thank you for being here too. I'm so glad you joined me on my last day.
Me too. My pleasure to be here, and I'm really glad I could be here today too.
Yeah, and I say last day, what I really mean is last show, because I'll be around for next week. I mean, how could I miss out on the big iPad launch next week?
Right. Yeah, I'm glad you're with us for that.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm also really excited that Kelly Gaumont takes over on Monday.
Same.
She is just awesome, and I know that she's going to be able to carry on the show and make it her own, and it's just going to be fantastic. I'm looking forward to listening to Daily Observations as a listener, just like everyone else. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, thank you to LinkedIn Jobs for being our sponsor today and all week. Head over to their website, linkedin.com/TDO, and get $50 off your first job posting. Listeners, I am so glad that you were here too. Thank you for listening in. Thanks for being part of this. Those of you that have been here since the beginning, and thank you to all of you that have joined in along the way. This has been loads of fun, and I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend, and give Kelly a big welcome on Monday. We'll see you next week.
Jeff, before you play the music, I have one piece of advice to share with you. Whatever it is you do next, I want you to be very careful and have fun,
mm-hmm.
but don't get caught.
Dave, that's the best advice anyone could ever give me.
Have a blast, my friend.
Oh, I will. This has been loads of fun. So thank you, everyone. Yeah, well, everyone will see you next week, and I'll be listening along with you.